Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's up? It's Monday, December 2nd. I'm Jeff. This is The Rants, and week 13 almost in the books, so today we'll recap all the action for you. But before I do, it is Cyber Monday, and that's the last day of the sale over at FTNFantasy.com. So make sure if you're going to get in today. It goes away at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. BK20 will get you 20% off of any FTN subscription higher than core. The baseball stuff is separate. You baseball people already know you got an email. And if you are interested in baseball, just talk to me or talk to Vlad Sedler. But also, if you want the VIP package, that's everything on the site. The promo code is BKVIP. So BK20 for 20% off of anything out there except VIP. Take the 25% off of VIP. That is the way to go. Again, the sale goes away today. So if you want to get in now. All right, let's dive into the action. From around the NFL, we're going to start with the Black Friday game. What the heck? Just when we thought it couldn't get worse than the Chicago Bears and their lack of situational awareness at the end of their game on Thanksgiving, the Raiders said, hold my beer. And they did what they did. It was crazy because, honestly, they played a pretty darn good game. I thought the offense looked interesting. I thought Aiden O'Connell looked maybe the best he's looked in the course of his career. He put up 340 and two. And yet at the end, miscue. They could have kicked a field goal potentially there if they were close to the right spot and taken down the Chiefs. And instead, the Chiefs escape with a 19-17 victory. Biggest takeaways, Brock Bowers is the real deal. He is the real deal. But Jacoby Myers, man, heck of a season. He was supposed to be second fiddle to Devontae Adams. And he's now the clear top wide receiver, and he's doing kind of better than Adams was there earlier in the year with the same quarterback situation, generally speaking. So you have that going for you. On the other side, well, we did see Pacheco out there. He was definitely much more effective than the sluggish Kareem Hunt. I think that was pretty apparent for anybody watching the game. They both had 7 carries. Pacheco had 44 yards. Hunt had 15. So the question would be, why did Hunt play more? Because ultimately he played 27 snaps to 22 for Pacheco. Honestly, I think this was just them getting Pacheco's legs underneath of him. And I would anticipate his workload increasing and Hunt's decreasing, though I doubt we're going to have Pacheco anything more than an RB2 anytime soon. Overall, though, good game for Hopkins, 4 for 90. Could have been a great game, but good enough. Kelce, 7 for 68, so he's continued to be productive after, you know, somewhat sluggish start to the season, obviously. And then Noah Gray has kind of played himself into the deep league tight end conversation. He had 6 targets, caught 4 for 58. Noah Gray is turning into a nice little pro here. And I liked him coming into the league out of Duke, so that's encouraging to see. All right, we'll move to the next game, Chargers and Atlanta Falcons. This was a lackluster game for offense unless you had, well, I guess 2 players. Oh, let's call it 3 because I'm going to give you Drake London here too. London had 16 targets, 9 for 86. Bijan, 26 for 102 and a score on the ground, 6 for 33 as a pass catcher. Yep, that's good. And then Ladd McConkey is the other name, 9 for 117. He did exit with a knee injury. I don't know the severity at this point, but honestly, I think no news is good news. Generally speaking, that was kind of it. Kirk Cousins, 4 interceptions, no passing scores. He's struggling pretty bad now at this point in the season. I don't think they go to Penix, but crazier things, I suppose, have happened, and especially because they're holding on for dear life in the NFC South. As far as the other side, so we saw the backfield. Gus Edwards, 6 carries, 32 yards. There wasn't a lot of meat on the bone. He was the leader in both rushing attempts and rushing yards. So not great there. Kimani Vidal, 4 for 20. And then Hassan Haskins only had a carry. When you break it down by participation, Gus Edwards is the lead back, but he only played 52% of the snaps. He played 24 snaps. Vidal played 12, which was 26%. Hassan Haskins played 6, which was 13%. If you have to roster one, it's Edwards. But I can't imagine he's going to be much more than a touchdown-dependent flex option. Vidal is at least interesting enough in deeper leagues that he's worth a dart. Haskins obviously isn't. All right, moving on to the barn burner that was the Pittsburgh Steelers and Cincinnati Bengals, 44-38. Man, do I feel bad for Joe Burrow. He had over 300 yards and three passing touchdowns yet again. He is the second quarterback in NFL history with 300-plus and 3-plus passing touchdowns in three straight games, with them all being losses. The only other player to do so was Andrew Luck in 2018. Wow. Nothing wrong with Burrow. The defense, though, is struggling. And he got all the key actors involved, right? Ja'Marr Chase, 6-for-86 and a score. I'll take it. T. Higgins, 5-for-69. Nice. And a score. I'll take it. Chase Brown, 12-for-70 and a score on the ground. And then 3-for-30 as a pass catcher. I'll take it. There's nothing wrong with the offense. It's the defense that's the issue. And the defense just gave up a 400-yard game to Russell Wilson. 4-for-14-3, Russ spread the ball around a lot in this game, but Pickens did get in the end zone, 3-for-74. Pat Freiermuth had, you know, he's a tight end merry-go-round type, but has the score, 6-for-68. Najee, 6-for-54 as a pass catcher, 16-for-75, and a score as a runner. Even Jaylen Warren in the mix here, 4-for-55. He only carried the ball 3-for-9 times. And by the way, Harris exited the game briefly, and it was Cordero Patterson who took over his role. That was kind of interesting in this contest. It's worth filing away, but hey, this was an answer. I thought the Bengals might have been able to play themselves possibly into the playoff conversation. That is not happening, and the Steelers are in command, especially after Baltimore losing to Philly, but we'll get to that game in a bit. Next game on the list, wow, Arizona losing to Minnesota. Arizona had this in hand until really like the mid, I wouldn't even call it the middle of the fourth. It was like the end of the fourth quarter. And then you had this, you know, the miraculous comeback. It was a wild game. Sam Darnold, 235 and 2, nothing special, but, you know, that was fine. Got Jefferson involved as I thought he would. 7-for-99 for Jefferson. That stinks if you have a 100-yard bonus. Like, you get a couple points for getting to 100 yards. But, oh, well, he didn't score a touchdown, though. That's six straight games without a touchdown for Justin Jefferson. But he topped 1,000 yards, so I'll give it to him there. He is one of four players all-time with 1,000-plus receiving yards in each of his first five seasons. Aaron Jones was briefly benched in this game for fumbling twice in the first quarter. He has four fumbles over his last three games. That is not good, but he redeemed himself like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber, and he scored a touchdown as a receiver, the key touchdown there at the end of the game to ultimately win this thing. I don't know how much we can trust Aaron Jones going forward. 5-for-22 as a runner, not optimal. Trey McBride, another 12-catch game, 12-for-96 on 12 targets. And then, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., so it was 5-for-60 and a touchdown, which is good enough. But the most encouraging thing, this is only the second time he's hit double-digit targets this season. And the only other time was back in week three. He had 12 targets. That's big-time encouraging for him. That's exactly what we want to see. We don't want to see the 6-7 target workload that he's been seeing for most of the season. James Conner, it was a tough one. I mean, we didn't expect anything spectacular against this Minnesota defense, so I'm not overly concerned. And it's really good, actually, that we didn't see that much of Trey Benson or Amari DiMercato in this one. Okay, moving on to the next game, Indianapolis and New England. Anthony Richardson. So he only had 109 passing yards. He had two interceptions, but he ended up being a decent enough fantasy option when it was all said and done because he threw for two passing scores. He had the rushing score. He had the two-point conversion to win the game. I love the ballsy call. Now, people won't love it when it doesn't work, but this was, you know, this is a team that they're on the fringe of the playoff picture. Technically speaking, they're on the outside looking in. They got to keep winning. They could win their division. I mean, that wouldn't shock me. They have a little bit of work to do there because the Texans are two games ahead, but you get a lot of divisional games on the stretch. It isn't out of the question here. Ballsy play. Ballsy call. Shane Steichen, shout out on that. But yeah, Richardson threw two passing scores, so all is right there. Alec Pierce caught one. Jonathan Taylor caught the other. And we almost got a Derek Dilemma game from Jonathan Taylor because he had 25 carries, 96 yards. Only one catch for 7 yards, so it would have been bad if it wasn't a touchdown. So ultimately, we got that. No Josh Downs. We'll see if he can return after their bye. 5 for 42 from Michael Pittman on 7 targets. On the other side, it's really clear Hunter Henry is the favorite target, and I can't blame Drake May there. 7 for 75. Of course, Austin Hooper got the touchdown, but Drake May, yet again, the legs, man. 5 for 59, 11.8 yards per carry. Antonio Gibson scored as a runner, not Ramondre Stevenson, but it really still isn't close in terms of usage. I often look to participation to really get a sense of how teams are using their backfields. Ramondre Stevenson played 50 snaps. Gibson played 15. So it's not close. It's really clear how the team views the backfield. Seattle and the Jets, another one where the lead was given up. This looked like the Jets were going to kind of get on track a little bit. And nope, they let the Seahawks back in. And guess what? The Seahawks, first place, baby. 7-5. Arizona 6-6. The Rams 6-6. The fading 49ers 5-7. So a big one here. And we continue to see solid production from Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He only had 4 catches, but for 74 yards, led the team in yardage. DK Metcalf led the way with 9 targets, but only caught 4 for 66. At this point, Tyler Lockett really isn't usable. The touchdown goes to AJ Barner, because why not? Kenneth Walker really did struggle a bit on the ground, only 3.1 per carry, and then Charbonnet ended up getting the touchdown. There's still at least, I want to say flex value, but I don't know if Charbonnet will be a flex every week. Obviously, we only have the 1 week left with byes. Over to the other side, Aaron Rodgers just isn't able to make the throws he could make in the past. You know, it felt like sometimes he would make very difficult throws look extremely easy. Now they look difficult when he tries to make those throws. We saw it on a number of occasions to Davante Adams and to Garrett Wilson. Now, they both did hit double-digit targets, but they also both only caught 5 balls. 5 for 66 in a score for Adams, 5 for 41 for Wilson. And then we saw Isaiah Davis score. We saw Braylon Allen catch 2 balls. Davis had 3, and Breece Hall had none. But again, it's usage. So Davis ran 8 routes. Allen ran 11. Breece ran 22 routes, and he ran well, 12 for 60. It's just he didn't see enough volume here. I don't have any major concerns for him, and I don't think this Davis thing is anything sustainable. It's just tough when a team is circling the drain, and you have to rely on those dudes for fantasy purposes. It's just not ideal, but that is the situation with the Jets right now. Tennessee and Washington. This one was over. Honestly, I think it was over by the end of the first quarter. Now, it was that dominant from Washington. Jaden Daniels, 206 and 3. He ran for a score as well, 9 for 34 on the ground. Terry McLaurin catching 2 touchdowns. Zach Ertz catching a touchdown. Brian Robinson having one of his best professional days as the team loses Austin Ekeler to injured reserve. 16 for 103 in a score for Robinson. Now, be careful with the box score. Don't just look to the box score and say, oh, Chris Rodriguez is ahead of Jeremy McNichols. He is not. Chris Rodriguez, 13 for 94 and a touchdown, all came in mop-up duty. Jeremy McNichols is still, actually, he's the Austin Ekeler now in this offense. So he slides into that role. He would be the priority for waivers. Over to the other side, it was a struggle until the second half. Then they were able to put some garbage time points on the board. Calvin Ridley, only 2 catches for 45 yards. Will Levis throws 212 passing yards. 2 scores, they both go to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He still only caught 3 balls in this game, but at least there's one sign that is encouraging for Westbrook-Ikhine. He had 8 targets. That volume, actually, I don't mind. And it's going to be very different than when we get to Marquez Valdes-Scantling in a little bit, and I kind of view these guys very similarly. They're extremely touchdown dependent. But here's a number that does concern me for Westbrook-Ikhine. He has 20 catches on the season. 8 of them are for touchdowns. That is not sustainable, even remotely close. And I think, I always talk about proactive, not reactive, and process and not results. Those sorts of ideas, they're very similar ideas. So the results-based folks will say, duh, you idiot. You said to be careful about him, and he just keeps scoring touchdowns. And they won't realize how unsustainable that ultimately is. Now, the sustainable part, though, to his credit, the 8 targets, we can continue to see more volume, then Westbrook-Ikhine may be a wide receiver 3, but as of right now, that's what we have to look for. Otherwise, yeah, Tony Pollard, not a surprise that the running back doesn't do well in a blowout. Houston and Jacksonville, obviously the story from this game is Trevor Lawrence. He will be in concussion protocol, who knows for how long, because of that just absolute cheap shot that Azeez Al-Shaair put on him. It was ugly. It was ugly. Lawrence left the game. Now, Mac Jones, to his credit, did well. 235 and 2. Got Parker Washington going. Breakout game for Parker Washington. 6 for 103 and a touchdown on 12 targets. Brian Thomas got in the end zone. 4 for 76 and a score on 10 targets. And Evan Engram, 7 for 41. I mean, that's not bad for a tight end. Travis Etienne got more work than Tank Bigsby because they were playing from behind. So I'm not going to read too much into that, although they could be playing from behind a bunch down the stretch. Joe Mixon, 101 and 1. Huge day for him. No surprises. And he caught 4 balls for 18 yards. But what I really love here, Nico Collins rolling 8 for 119. That's the dude we saw in the beginning of the season. I love that. Tank Dell is hit or miss. I don't have major concerns with 1 for 23, but we just know he has a lower floor. And CJ Stroud just hasn't returned on investment. This is another example here of why I just don't like those middle round quarterbacks. Most years in one quarterback leagues, that's kind of it's a dead zone, and maybe we're just going to have to start calling it what it is. It's a dead zone where I'm going to avoid quarterbacks at all costs. Late round guys kind of where it's at in your one quarterback leagues. All right, moving on to the next contest. The Rams and the Saints, bad news coming out of this one. Taysom Hill will be out for the remainder of the season, suffering a pretty significant knee injury. It's a torn ACL. I don't know if there's anything more than just the ACL could be, but he's 34 years old too, so I don't know what happens from here. A late season ACL injury is not optimal. We'll talk about Juwan Johnson tomorrow. He's not Taysom Hill, so I don't love him, but he should get some more work. Really, this is Alvin Kamara first and foremost, 23 for 112, and then 4 for 7. Only 7 yards, but I'll take 4.7 PPR points any day of the week. Then I have no idea who catches the football for this team. Like, yeah, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, great. He had 2 catches for 36 yards. I know one of them was a touchdown, but he ran 30 routes and was targeted 3 times. That's not good. It's not good. So we'll see what ends up happening. But yeah, all around ugliness there. Kyren Williams rolled on the other side, got in the end zone, 15 for 104. Really looked great here. Caught a ball for 9 yards. Nacua got in the end zone. Cooper Kupp a down game, but I don't suspect that's going to continue. A little bit more Blake Corum. 8 carries, 42 yards. He looked decent, but he's still clearly Kyren's backup. This was just, you know, getting him in the mix there a little bit, but that's it. With him, so just keep that in mind. Tampa and Carolina. Okay, so on the Tampa side, and this was I'll get to Carolina in a minute because a tremendous performance, honestly, from Carolina to push this thing to overtime. But Baker got like cleated on the Achilles. He should be good enough to play this week, he had said. It looked like, you know, the way he was writhing in pain, it looked like he had a serious injury. But no, it was just cleated. I mean, still hurt, I'm sure, but it isn't a significant injury. Bucky Irving goes off again, 25 for 152 and a score, 3 for 33 as a pass catcher. Rashad White was not bad. 11 for 76 is 6.9 yards per carry. He had a catch for 2 yards. But it looks like if you just look at touches, it looks like this is decidedly Bucky Irving, and then Rashad White is the number two. But when you look at participation, there's a different story. So this one is really hard to read. Bucky Irving, 41 snaps. Rashad White, 40 snaps. They're at a 50-50 here, but not in terms of touch volume because Irving does serve as the primary early down guy. And in a game against one of the worst run defenses in the league, in a game where, you know, you can pound the rock and you're going to play from the lead for most of the game here, it makes sense why they lean on Irving. They're not all going to be that way down the stretch for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have the Raiders, though. The Chargers is going to be tough. Dallas could be in between. You never know what you're going to get with Dallas. Then they do have Carolina again. So it's actually not a bad schedule, but it's, you know, the Chargers are going to be especially tough. So, hey, Bucky Irving is an RB2 or better going forward. Obviously, I haven't done rankings for week 14 yet. Moving on, Mike Evans, 118. So he's got average a little over 95 receiving yards per game in order to get to 1,000, almost 96. Over his final 5. So I'm rooting for him there because that would be pretty wild to see him do that in 11 straight seasons. To the other side, Bryce Young continues to improve, man. I think he's played himself into a spot where the Panthers can now say, all right, this is our dude next year. He's got confidence. Canales has him going well. 298 for him. He scored as a runner, threw a passing score. It's looking good. It's looking good. Now, the thing that didn't look good was Chuba Hubbard's fumble in overtime. We saw some more Jonathan Brooks here, but again, this is another scenario where the touches in the box and in the box score and then the snaps don't line up. So Chuba played 80% of the snaps, 54 snaps. Jonathan Brooks played 14 snaps, which was like 21%. So it doesn't line up. He's the backup. Let's be clear about that. Adam Thielen, Fountain of Youth. I mean, it helps that he missed a chunk of the season, so he's a little bit fresher, but he played great. This is the best we've seen him play since last year. 8 for 99 and a score in this one. He might be worth rostering. It's crazy, but I'm not going to question it. All right. What was this, the game of the week? Philly and Baltimore. I mean, hey, Philly showed they are the real deal, especially in the second half. Saquon Barkley playing his rear end off in this one. 23 for 107 and a score. That score was another one for 20-plus yards in the second half. It was a 25-yarder. I mean, he's playing at an MVP-caliber level. Dallas Goedert, 3 for 35, but injured in this one. Doesn't seem like it's serious, but he could miss some time. A.J. Brown, 5 for 66. You got a tush-push touchdown for Jalen Hurts that he fumbled. The snap was mishandled, and then he was able to still get it over, and he threw for the passing score to Goddard. Lamar was fine, even though it was a tough game. 237 and 2, ran 8 times for 79 yards. Derrick Henry, not so fine. He did catch 3 for 29, but no rushing score, 19 for 82. Mark Andrews, Isaiah likely had the garbage touchdown at the very end. Mark Andrews, 6 for 67 and a score. Remember when we couldn't even use him? I guess we're back in top 12. I've been reluctant to put him there, but I guess we're back there because the production has been fairly consistent since that just absolutely dreadful start to the season. All right, last but certainly not least, the snow game. And the Bills obviously handled this one. There are a couple things out of this one. Let's start with Christian McCaffrey. This is likely season ending. It is a PCL according to Kyle Shanahan, and that's it. If he's out for the season, he would have missed 38 of his last 80 games since 2020. It's not good. That's not good. That's, you're almost missing half your games. You're missing 48% of your games. Jordan Mason obviously becomes the top waiver ad if people were stupid enough to drop him. If you weren't stupid enough to drop him, good on you. Because, wow, he is back to RB1 territory. He was great in this one. 13 for 78 in the snow was really, really good. Garendo scored the touchdown, but he's still the backup to Jordan Mason, so he'd only be a handcuff for our final month of the fantasy football season. Otherwise, hopefully better days will be ahead, but this seems to be a lost season for the 49ers. On the other side, Josh Allen doing superhuman things, flying through the air like Superman. On that play, you know the play, we all know the play. We're going to see that play for a very long time, by the way. But I wanted to just address this because I know some people are complaining that he got both a receiving touchdown and a passing touchdown on the same play. But let's put it this way. If Allen threw the ball to Amari Cooper, right, and then Amari Cooper lateraled the ball to somebody else, say it was James Cook, and then Cook scored the touchdown, Josh Allen would still get a passing touchdown for that play because it was a passing play. And James Cook would get the receiving touchdown. Now, he would have no reception. You don't get credited with a reception on a lateral, but you do get credited with the touchdown as a receiving touchdown, not a rushing touchdown. So in this instance here, with any passing touchdown play, there has to be a recorded passing touchdown and there has to be a recorded receiving touchdown. So those, you always have to have one of each, right? In this instance, Allen got both. He threw the ball to Cooper. Cooper lateraled it to him. He scored the touchdown. Therefore, it is scored 100% correctly. Absolutely correctly. So he does that. He also ran for a score. He's setting, he's making history. And by the way, Marcus Mariota did the same thing. It's actually happened 4 times before in NFL history with the pass and receiving touchdown on the same play. He's also the fifth player in NFL, or since the merger, I should say, with a passing, rushing, and receiving touchdown in the same game. The others, Christian McCaffrey, LaDainian Tomlinson, Walter Payton, and David Patton. How about that for Josh Allen? MVP caliber. Even in the snow, it didn't matter, and it didn't matter for James Cook either. He looked like he was playing a different game than everybody else on a different surface. 14 for 107, 65-yard touchdown, longest of his career. Ray Davis had a solid game running hard, 11 for 63 in the touchdown. Buffalo just knew how to play in this stuff, and the 49ers didn't, you know, plain and simple. And I'm not worried at all about the passing numbers. Like, yeah, great. Dawson Knox had 2 for 56. Great. It was a crazy weather game, and we saw it. Like, usually the run game is where you want to focus on. And honestly, McCaffrey was running really hard. Grendo did okay. Jordan Mason did really well. Cook was awesome. Davis was awesome. Even Ty Johnson, who only had 5 carries, averaged 5.6 yards per carry. It puts an advantage to the run game in those conditions, because your defenders, especially if they're backpedaling, I mean, they're on skates out there. So it was a fascinating game. And Josh Allen continuing to do crazy things. All right, that is going to wrap it up for today. So tomorrow I'll be back. We'll recap the Monday Night Football action. And then we're going to start to look forward to Week 14. You could be in a win and get in situation. So the playoffs, even though they technically for a lot of leagues don't start until Week 15, they may be starting. If you have to win and get in, that is a playoff situation. Don't forget FTNFantasy.com, BK20 for 20% off. If you want the VIP, BKVIP gets you 25% off the top tier package. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Blue Sky. All right, I will catch you on the flip tomorrow. Also talk top 10 waivers on that podcast. Until then, I'm Jeff, and I'm out.